Today's shiur is Masechta Nozah Daf Mem Tes. And we will begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, the first words, Ul Rabbi Akiva. In the previous shiurim, we have been discussing, we began with the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that although a Nazar and a Kohen Gadol may never become Tameh, even for close relatives, from Meis Mitzvah, they may be betamei themselves. And the Gemara wanted to learn and understand from where we know this halacha. And the Gemara brought two different approaches in understanding the psukim. One was the approach of Rabbi Shmuel, and the other was the approach of Rabbi Akiva. Actually, the interesting thing, if you think about the two approaches that we've been learning, there isn't really much of a difference halachically between them. They both agree that a Kohen Gadol and Nazir can become Tamei Tameis Mitzvah. They both agree that they can become Tamei to any other person, even to a close relative. Many of the halachas that we've been learning, if not all of the halachas, they agree on. It's only a question of how they get there, how they learn the Pesukim. And the second opinion, first the Gemara spent quite a while in the previous year expounding and bringing down Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. And then starting on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud, the Gemara began telling us how Rabbi Akiva explains the Pesukim to help us know the Halacha. The Gemara is still focused on Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara begins, Rabbi Akiva. We learned that Rabbi Akiva said that the Torah says by a Kohen Gadol, La'aviv li'imoy lo yitama, that he's not allowed to become tamei to his father and mother. And the question was, if he can't become tamei to any relative, father and mother are included, why did the Torah have to say both a father and a mother? So he said, La'aviv li'imoy enimatama, amatama hu l'meis mitzvah. And the question that the Gemara is going to ask, at least this is the way Tosfos understands the question, is it's a very important lesson to teach us that a Kohen Gadol, although he can become Tamei to a relative, may become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. But why do we need two words to teach us that halacha? L'aviv uli imoy. Just saying l'aviv uli imo alone would teach us that lesson. There are other Rishonim. That's the way Tosfos and the Rosh explain the question that we're about to learn in the Gemara. There are other Rishonim that have somewhat of a different approach, and they say that the halacha that a Kohen Gadol or Nazir can become Tamei to relative, we already know. The halacha that they can become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah, we also know. Because if you recall, in the previous year, Rabbi Akiva said that the word La'achiv teaches us that if someone has two characteristics, that he's both a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, he's allowed to become Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. Obviously, if he only has one, being a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir alone, he can be Tamei to Meis Mitzvah. So why do we need Lavi V'Limai to teach us that? We already know that halacha. That's another approach to understand the Gemara's question. Rabbi Akiva, Mechti, lo yishna Kohen Gadol chudei, lo yishna Gadol v'hu Nazir, if he's a Kohen Gadol, or he's a Nazir, or he's both, nafgalei melachiv. We know from the word la'achiv that toward Meis Mitzvah he may become Tamei. So the question is, la'aviv la'imai lamali, why do we need la'aviv la'imai to teach it? Or, as we said, why do we need two words to teach it? La'aviv in la'imai, we could learn it from one. Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. We need the words, we need both words, la'aviv u'la'imai. Because of aviv, had the Torah only written the word aviv, having been a hainatam d'lamitamalei, the reason a Kohen Gadol may not become tamei to his father, shim d'chazok ba'amahu. No one ever can know for sure that the person who he thinks is his father is his father. Of course, we assume that his mother did not have any adulterous relationship and that she became pregnant and had a child from her husband. But nobody could say that with 100% definitiveness. Why do we say that the person we assume our fathers are our fathers? Because we have a chazakah that our mothers only had relations with our fathers. Avil ima, but his mother, the Yidin, the Yadasei. There is no question who's your mother. The person who gave birth to you is certainly your mother. Maybe, Litmala, So perhaps to the father, a Kohen Gadol can become Tamei, because we're not 1,000% sure that he's indeed your father. A mother we know. So since we know for sure she's your mother, even though he's a Kohen Gadol, maybe he can become Tamei to her. Or we could say it the other way. Because Rechmana Imai, had the Torah only written Imai, having been Ima lo litmala, to your mother you can't become Tamei, the Lav Ozel Zara Basra. In Halacha, as the Gemara is going to teach us, when it comes to decide if you're a Kohen, if you're a Levi, what Shevet you belong to, we follow the father's family. So obviously there's more of a relationship to the father's family. So maybe a Kohen Gadol can become Tamei to his father. Avil Aviv, Kivan of Mamar, the Pasuk says, L'mishpachosam leveis avoisam. So you have that strong relationship with your father, Eimel Litmelei. A Kohen Gadol can become Tamei to his father, not to his mother. Kamashman, that's why we need both the father and the mother. So there's a very famous question asked on this Gemara by the Rajba. The Rajba says, the Chachmei Provinza asked the following question. The Gemara says that we need a special pasuk to teach us that Kohen Gadol may become Tamei to his father, because we're not sure he's his father. Ask the Rajba, Manushach, if this person is his father, so it's his father, what are you going to say? That the person who we think is his father is really not his father. So someone else is his father. If someone else is his father, he's a mamzer. He's not a kayin, so he can become Tamei anyway. So what's the concern? If it's his father, great. If chas v'shalom, it's not, so then he's not a kayin, so he certainly can become Tamei. So how do we understand this Gemara? That's the question that the Rajba asks. So the Rajba answers. There are many answers given to this question. One answer is, and this is the way Chasam Sofer explains this answer that the Rishonim give. At the end of the day, this Kohen, we allow a person who says that my mother's married to a Kohen to do the Avodah, right? Otherwise we would never have a Kohen. How can we ever be sure that somebody's a Kohen? We rely on the Chazakah that his mother had him from his father, and if his father's a Kohen, if his mother's husband is a Kohen, she is a Kohen. So he's doing the Avodah based on that Chazakah. So the Chazakah is strong enough that we should treat him as a Kohen, even if there is in the back of our minds a concern that he's not a Kohen. So maybe he isn't, but he's acting as a Kohen. He's doing the Avodah on the Mizbeach, and therefore he can't become Tamei. Another test that the Rishonim gives is that the Gemara's concern is not that this woman had an adulterous relationship. Jewish women are not accused of having adulterous relationships. The concern is that his mother was married to a man, got divorced, and remarried a second man within 3 months, and both men that she was married to were Kohanim. So he's certainly a Kohen. That's not the question. The only question is, who is his true father? Another teretz that the Gra gives to this question is that this woman that the Gemara, the Pasuk is referring to, lives in a city where all the men in the city, the Gemara speaks about this many times, is a Ir Shekulei Kohanim. So everybody in the city is a Kohen. The only question is, so there's no question that he's a Kohen. The only question is, who is his father from all of these Kohanim that live in the city? But the Karen Ira, because of the Rajba's Kasha, has an entirely different approach to the Gemara. He says, and the basis of his approach is, he finds it difficult, the entire premise of the Gemara. The premise of the Gemara is that we always have to be concerned that someone's mother had an adulterous relationship, and the person who he thinks is his father is really not a father. To think in that way really doesn't make any sense. People don't have adulterous relationships and have children out of wedlock with a different man. He says the way to understand the Gemara is on a more of a psychological level. He says the Gemara is suggesting, on one hand, a person has more of a bond to his mother than to his father, because there's a biological connection. The person was came from his mother's body, and therefore the Gemara suggests that to a mother a kohen gadol maybe could become tamei. You have the strong bond that exists between a mother and a child, whereas to a father, we don't have that significant, unique relationship. Maybe he can't become tamei. Then the Gemara suggests, maybe we look at it the other way. Since a child's entire yichus depends on his relationship with his father, because we see that the Gemara just quoted, l'mishpachosam l'beis avosam. So since his entire relationship is based on his mother, therefore the Torah is based on his father. So the Gemara is saying maybe to the father, who you get Yerusha from, you get Yichus from, to him the Kohen Gadol may become Tamei. He would have never been a Kohen Gadol if his father weren't a Kohen. But to the mother, that doesn't have that element in the relationship, maybe he should become Tamei. That's why we need the two Pesukim. But not that there's a real concern halachically that someone's mother had an adulterous relationship and the person we think of who's our father is really not our father. The Stipler says that the Pasuk is very, very exact. We quoted this question in our previous year. It's interesting, the Stipler says, that the Pasuk says, by the Kohen Gadol, when the Torah says that he's not allowed to become Tamei, the Pasuk says, La'oviv uli imoy. By a Kohen Hedyet allowing to become Tamei, the Torah, as we said, says, Li'imoy ula'oviv. And the question is, why is the Torah inconsistent in the order, says the Stipler? Our Gemara is the basis for that answer. The Kohen Gadol, the Torah is telling us, he's not allowed to become Tamei. Tells us the Torah, La'oviv, to his father, who we're not sure it's really his father, he can't become Tamei. And even Li'imoy, who he is, the Pasuk always goes in ascending order, telling us the bigger Chiddush. So first the Pasuk tells us La'oviv, he can't become Tamei, but there you maybe say, because I don't know it's his father. So then the Pasuk says, even Li'imoy, who we know it's your mother, still you can't become Tamei. By Kohen Hedyet, it's just the opposite. The Pasuk is telling us who he may become Tamei to. So certainly Li'imoy, who's for sure your mother, the Kohen Hedyet can become Tamei. But then the Pasuk tells us the bigger Chiddush, that even La'aviv, who the Gemara just said, we can't be for sure that it's his father, also you're allowed to become Tamei. So the Pasuk is actually very consistent. The Pasuk always tells us the bigger Chiddush second. Continues the Pasuk, the Gemara, and quoting the Pesukim, the Pasuk says, I call Nafshei Smeis La'yavai, Lomeli. What does the Pasuk have to tell us? I'll call Lafuke Rechaikim. That a Kohen Gadol can't become Tamei to people who aren't related to him. Meis, what does the Pasuk say? I call Nafshes Meis. La'yavai tells us the Pasuk, Lafuke Kroivim. That not only may he not become Tamei to people who aren't related to him, but even to relatives. Ask the Rajba, obvious question. A Kohen Hedyet may not become Tamei to people who are not related. So why do I need a special pasuk? By Kohen Gadol, he's certainly no worse than a Kohen Hedyet, says the Rosh. Of course, we could have learned the halacha of a Kohen Gadol from a Kohen Hedyet. What the Gemara is teaching us is that the pasuk says that when a Kohen Gadol, chas v'shalom, becomes Tamei to someone who's not his relative, he's over two lavim. He's over the lav that he is a regular Kohen, and any Kohen that becomes Tamei to someone who's not related to, there's a lav, and there's another lav, because he's a Kohen Gadol. Then the Pasuk says, Nefoshes, I call Nafshes Meis, Lo Yovai, to teach us, Lefukir V'yestam, Shiyotz Mishnei Meisim, that let's say, the halacha is like this. This is a beautiful introduction for the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah will discuss Mishnah, Gemara Mitzvashem, will discuss at great length what causes Tumah. And one of the halachas of Tumah is that a revius of dam, of a mace, of a person who passed away, gives off Tumah. The reason a revius dam gives off Tumah is because the Gemara says that a revius is the amount of blood a person must have to survive. A person can't survive if he doesn't have in his system at least a revius dam. The Pasuk of Nefashos which is a Lashon Rabbim, teaches us the following. Lefuka Reviyastam, Shiyotza Mishnei Mason. That let's say you have a Reviyastam of dead people, but it's not Reviyas from one individual, it's a combination of blood from two corpses. Shematam Ba'oil, Shinema Akol Nafshois, Nafshois being Lashon Rabbim, Akol Nafshois Meis Lo Yavoi. There's a beautiful Balaturim in Parashas Emor on this pasuk. He says, look at the word of the pasuk. Akol nafshois meis layavoy. This is a very interesting phenomenon. Every two words in this pasuk end with the same letter. Alkol, both end with a aleph, with a lamed. Nafshois meis, end with a sof. Layavoy, end with aleph again, and with aleph. What's the lesson of this pasuk? That it's a double. Everything is double. That if you have a reviyas from two niftarim, as the pasuk taught us, is metama. It doesn't have to be from one. Everything is doubled. Before we go on to the next sugya, there's an interesting point made by the Rogit Shover in the Tzofnes Paneach. We've been discussing over the last couple of shiurim that even people who typically may never become Tamei, a Nazir, a Kohen Gadol, may become Tamei, Tamei Smitzvah. And the fundamental question to understand, he asks, is why. One explanation is that the essay of being a Kavra Mei Smitzvah is Doicha Deloisa say of being coming Tamei, and therefore now this Kohen Gadol, this Nazir, has a obligation to become, to, has a, should be metama for the Meis Mitzvah. Another explanation is because we're concerned about the cover of the mace. We don't want the person to lay there in such a situation with in Bezoyim. Says the Ragachov, what's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? Nafkamina would be, let's say it's a child. It wouldn't be relevant by Kohen Gadol. A child can't be a Kohen Gadol. The child could be a Nazir, we learned in the Masechta. If you have a child who's a Nazir, and he finds a Meis Mitzvah, is he obligated to take care of the Meis Mitzvah or not? If we say, because it's a Mitzvah, because it's Eser Doicha Leisa say, so there are no Mitzvahs to Ketanim. If we say, however, that every Jew has to be concerned that another Jew should not lay in such a disgraceful manner, the fact that this person is still a Ketan doesn't make a difference, and the cotton would have to become Tamei, even if he was a Nazir. As we've been learning in the Masechta, a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei, except for a Meis Mitzvah. If a Nazir does become Tamei, the halacha is, we've learned the Mishnayis and the Gemara, the Torah is very clear what has to happen. The first thing he has to do is purify himself with the Paraduma, the Paraduma and the Mayim Chaim mixed together. That means on the third day and on the seventh day after becoming Tamei, that is sprinkled on him. After he completes that, he goes to the mikvah. He takes a haircut. He has to bring three kabbanas on the eighth day, a chatas ha'oif, a oilas ha'oif, and a karban asham. He forfeits all of the days that he already kept as a nazir. And now, after following this procedure, he begins again. What our Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem, and Gemara will now focus on is what is the Tumah that's considered a Tumah that makes a Nazir fall into this situation. Says the Mishnah, Elezer Tumas HaNazir Megaleich. On the following situation, the Nazir considered that he became Tamei and has to go through the process that we just described. Ala Meis, V'Kazayis Min Ameis. If someone is a mace, if somebody comes in contact with a mace, or a kazayis ben a mace, the Gemara is going to focus the Mitzvah Shem, why do we have to say both a mace and a kazayis ben a mace? Al kazayis netzel, also something we're going to spend, a concept that we're going to spend a lot of time in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shiur explaining. But netzel is if liquid, if a mace decomposed into a liquid and then congealed, a kazayis of this. The Rishonim point out that even though, as we know, all shiurim Kazayas, Kabeya, whatever the shir is, are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The halacha that was saying that a kazayas m'nameis is what gives off tumma is based because the halacha is, the Gemara assumes that when an embryo is formed at its very beginning, it's the size of a kazayas. So since every human life is formed based on the size of a kazayas, that's why a kazayas minamais gives off tumma. But again, that's only an explanation. The real bottom line is that it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. A malay tavrid rekev, on a ladleful of decomposed corpse. And again, in the Gemara Mitzvah, we're going to describe exactly how much that is. Ala shedra, the spinal column of a mess. Ala gugoylus is the skull. Al avar min ames, on a limb from a mace. Al avar min achai, shiyesh lo basa karoi. There has to be enough flesh left over on this limb that if the person were alive, if this limb was still attached to a live person, there's enough flesh there that could regenerate itself to be complete on the limb. A chatzi kav atzomos, on a half a kav of atzomos. And the Rishonim discuss at length this shear of the chatzi kav atzomos. What is that? Because if you look in the Mishnah Masechta Olos that describes how much tumah you need to have a bone, it says a rova, a quarter of a kav. Here it says a half a kav. So some Rishonim say that the way to understand the difference is that the Mishnah Masechta Olos is saying what the shear is midrabanan. Midrabanan, a quarter of a kav gives tumah, but the rice, it's a half a kav. That's how some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim say that the shear is really midaraisa, a rova kav. However, there's a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai, as we just said a moment ago, that even though normally a rova kav is what gives off tumah, here we have a special din that for a nazir to be considered a nazir that became tameh, he has to come in contact with a chatzi kav. The Rishonim also give a different approach and understanding as follows. If you have roiv minyan ubinyan, most of the skeleton, most of the body, most of the bones in the body, there you don't have to have a half a calf. Even if you have less than a half a calf of bones, it gives off tumah. What our Mishnah is teaching us is that even if you don't have roiv minyan ubinyan of the bones of the body, but you do have a half a calf of crushed bone, then that gives off tumah. A chatzi leg dam, on half a leg of dam. Again, here too, it represents a special din by Nazir, because usually the shear is a revius, as we learned in the previous Gemara. Amagon v'amason v'alon. If a Nazir touches these, if a Nazir carries these things, or a Nazir is in the oil of anything that was listed in the Mishnah, he becomes tamei, that the halachas of a Nazir tamei apply. There's a machlokas rishonim. If a Nazir touched crushed bone, will the din be that it becomes a nazir tameh? Some Rishonim, and that's probably Pashup Shad of the Mishnah, suggests yes. Our Mishnah said that all of the cases that we just listed, if a nazir touched any of these items, he becomes tameh to the degree of being a nazir tameh. However, there are Rishonim that say that touching particles of crushed bone will not be metama nazir. Why? Because each particle is viewed as an individual particle. So if a nazir touched one particle, even though it's next to other particles, he didn't touch all those particles. And our Mishnah says that in order for him to be tamei, he has to touch whatever amount the Mishnah said. And therefore many Rishonim suggest that the halacha of tumas maga will not apply if he touched particles. If he carried a container holding this, so he carried the whole container. But for touching, unless he touched them all, if he just touched part of it, he's not going to be tamei. Valetzim kasaira, if somebody touches a bone the size of a saira, then halach is amagav amasai. Touching or carrying an etzim kasaira makes him tamei. But there is no tumas oil by an etzim the size of a saira. Al-Elu, in all of these cases, Hanazim Megaleach, the Nazir, as we said, has to take a haircut, Umazim Beshlishi Beshvi, he has to have the Parah Aduma sprinkled on him on the third and the seventh day, after he became Tamei, the Soiseris HaKoidman, he forfeits the days that he already kept as a Nazir, Veinu Maschil Limnois, and he doesn't begin to count from new Elat Shiitar until he goes through the purification process, or maybe it's Kaminois of him bringing his carpet. Ten Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Acha Pitirosai Sharameyer, after Rameyer passed away, Amalan Rabbi Yehuda Talmidov. Rabbi Yehuda said to the Talmid, his Talmidim, Al Yichnasu Talmidei Rameyer Lakan. I don't want to allow the Talmidim of Rameyer to come study by me. Pasha Pshat, in the Gemara is, the Rameyer was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and most people cannot even understand what Rameyer said. And they therefore, Rabbi Yehuda did not want the Talmidim of Rameyer to come study by him, because they were used to a level of learning that he wasn't accustomed to, or they were used to saying things that they didn't understand, and he didn't want them to join his shir. Ramesh Kantronim. I saw a very nice pshat. Kantronim means the contrary, the word Kantronim, the contrary. They try to just ask questions that don't really, not just to understand the Gemara, they just ask to bother. They just ask to try to challenge the Rebbe, not to really understand the Gemara. So the Ben Yayod explains the Gemara, that what is a Talmud Chacham? A Talmud Chacham is a nartik. A nartik means a container, a case. A person who's a Talmud Chacham is the case for the Torah. Who carries the Torah? Who teaches the Torah? A Talmud Chacham. That's the word nartik. But if somebody learns and doesn't act properly with his learning, he's called kantrorim. He's the opposite of a nartik. He isn't fulfilling his role as a Talmud Chacham. The loyal limitarabayim, they're not really anxious to really understand. They just want to challenge me. Dachas Sumchus Unichnas. Sumchus, who is one of the Talmidim of Rameyah, came to Rabbi Yehudashir anyway. Amalham, and he told him, Kach Shanuri Rebbe. Rebbe, Kach Shanuri Rebbe Meir. This is the way Rebbe learned this Mishnah. Al Eilu Tumas HaNozir Megaleich. In the following situations, a Nozir has to go through the process because he's considered a Nozir that became Tomei. Al Ameis, Val Kazayas Min Ameis. On a Ameis and a Kazayas Min Ameis. Says the Gemara, Kos Rebbe Yehuda. So Yehuda got very upset. Vomelam, and he told his Talmidim, Loi kach amarti lechem, didn't I tell you, al yichnusu Talmidei Rameyah lekan, the Rameyah's Talmidim should not enter Mnesha Kantronin, pain, that they don't learn properly, because the girsa that they said is a difficult girsa. It says, al kazayis min ames. If the Mishnah, if the Braisa already says that for Kazayis min Ames, the Nazir becomes Tamei, Al-Mes Lekoshke, doesn't become Tamei on Ames. So the learning is a difficult way to understand. Why do we have to say Mes and Kazayis min Ames? If we say Kazayis min Ames, isn't Ames understood? So says the Brisker Rav, perhaps there's a very big Chiddush. The Chiddush of the Mishnah, of this Girsa, would be the following, says the Brisker Rav. What would be the halacha? Chabad al-Slag. We have a number of kazesim, of a mace. Not connected. You should never know from such a gruesome sight. And a nazir touches this kazayis, and then he touches that kazayis, and then he touches the next kazayis. So each kazayis is a separate kazayis. So the nazir will be chayiv, malchus, if he did a mimezit, for each kazayis that he touched. What will happen, however, we have a corpse that's Baruch Shem whole, and the Nazir touches this corpse, and then touches the corpse again. He won't be Chayiv. So there's a very big nafkamina, says the Brisker Rav, it seems, between a Kazayis min Ameis and a Mace. So ask the Brisker Rav, why is Rabbi Yehuda so upset? We just gave us a valid nafkamina la halacha between a mace and a kazayis min a mace. Says the Brisker Rav, a chiddush la halacha. He says, if there was a corpse, and the corpse was dissected with different kazayisim, but they're all coming from the same mace, and a nazir went and touched one kazayas and another kazayas. Since all of those kazayasim come from the same mace, it will be the same as he touched the mace and then touched the mace again, and it'll only be considered one aveira. So therefore the question is very understood. Why do you have to say mace and kazayas min a mace? If kazayas min a mace is metama, certainly a mace is metama. So if Yehuda doesn't want them to respond, Rabbi Yossi says, respond. Because if you're not going to respond, Yomru, Meir Shachiv, people are going to say, Rameyah died. And the Mefarshim say that sometimes the Gemara uses the word mace when someone dies. And sometimes the Gemara uses the word Shachav when someone died. When do we use the word Shachav? And when does the word mace used? So they say, when somebody left Talmidim who continue in his drachim, in his path, then the word shachav means that he's resting. But his ways are being perpetuated by his talmidim. If somebody doesn't have talmidim who are perpetuating his derech, then we use the word mace. Our Gemara is showing us that Rav Meir had very good talmidim. Sumchis was the Talmud of Rav Meir, and he right away wants to defend Rav Meir's teachings. So that's why the Gemara uses the words Rav Meir shachav, not Rav Meir mace. Yehuda Kos, Yoisi Shosak, Paramat Hailel. Ben Yoyad explains the Gemara in this following way. Subchas came here with a girsa in the Mishnah, with a version of the Mishnah that's somewhat difficult to understand. So a mayor is no longer here to defend the girsa. Rav Yehuda got angry. And the klal is, the rule is that when somebody gets angry, he doesn't remember his learning. So how Rav Yehuda is unable to explain, we could attribute to his kas, to getting angry. But Rav Yossi didn't get angry, and Rav Yossi is Baruch Hashem alive. So now, if I won't answer, it'll seem that there's no pshat, that there's a problem here. I'm not angry, I'm not dead, why am I not answering? That's why I need to answer this girsa. Oh, Rav Yossi, by nitzuch el-lamesh en-alek zayis, that's sorry. We have a mace that doesn't have a kazayis boss on him. For dying yomru, al eva memenu megaleich. We just have an eva of a mace. We learned in the Mishnah that you consider tamei a kula like koshkei. So again, what is the case of a mace teaching us? Ela says the Gemara kederam Rav Yochanan lo nitzucha el lo nefil shalay niskashu evar begidim. If you have a nefil who passed away, you have a nefil who passed away, and it didn't yet. The nafel is so undeveloped that it wasn't yet connected with Gidin, that still gives off tumah. Hachnami v'nafel shalom iskashu be'evar be'gidim, that is considered, but you have a full nafel, it's considered a mace. The Paiskim make a number of observations. Firstly, the Noid of Yehuda says that we're really not sure what is considered a nafel that's chiv kfura, or a nefil that's not mechuyev kfura. And therefore, the Noida Behuda says, the rule to follow is as follows. If the fetus that didn't survive is less than 40 days old, there is no chiyev kfura. However, if it's more than 40 days old, since we're not really clear in all the shiurim the Gemara gives to what is or isn't considered a nefil, we are mechuyev to bury him. However, the Paiskim discuss, the halacha is, Rechman al-Tzlan, we should never have such shilas. Let's say someone dies on Yontif. So the halacha is, the halacha is how he can be buried on the first day Yontif. The halacha is how he can be buried the second day Yontif. However, if it's a nafil, if there's a possibility, you know, somebody, a woman miscarried, or a child who's very young, under 30 days, passed away, since we're not sure is that an afil or is it not an afil? So we should never bury him on Yontif. We should wait for Chol HaMoed or for after Yontif. But on the other hand, the Poskim are very, very adamant in saying that all Nefalim are Mechuyev and Kfura. We have to bury them. That's what a Neshama, there's a Neshama in an afil, and a Neshama needs a Kfura. Rav Amma, if you have roi binyan or roi minyan of a mess, sheesh ben roiva atzomis, that you have a roiva hakav of atzomis, are mitame. That's cool. That's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us with the word mace. The Pais can point out a very relevant halacha l'maisa. The Masham discusses this in the Tshuva. The Masham says that people want to suggest that if you have bones, corpse, that are very old and completely dried out, there is no chiyuv kfura. He says, Gemara, Mishnah clearly teach us, we're talking about bones that are crushed and in a powder form and completely dried out, yet we're learning from our Gemara that they are matama. The matama nazir, with all of the ramifications that we're learning, and certainly there's no heter that they should not be buried, which leads to a serious question. In museums, sometimes they have these different bones. Clearly, our Mishnah teaches us, our Gemara teaches us, there is no heter, the fact that they're dried out. There's a beautiful vart that I saw to end the shir on a happier note. The Navi in Yecheskel, famous Navua in Yecheskel, speaks about that Tzomas Hayavashis. The dry bones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Yecheskel, the field full of dry bones, this is the Navua that speaks about Tchias HaMesim. The field of dry bones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Yecheskel, that as Mashiach comes, will be resurrected with Tchias HaMesim. But the Mefarshim point out a very interesting observation. Yecheskel was a Kohen. And the Pasuk says, V'areini Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me as a Tzomas Hayavashis, these dry bones, saviv saviv, and he tells me to walk around the field to bring them back to life. Say to Mefarshim, here we're going to have the greatest event and the greatest miracle that will happen ever in the history of the world. Tchias HaMesim. And Yecheskel is the Kohen. So we'd say, to do Tchias HaMesim, a Kohen should be metame himself. But we've been learning in our shiurim how much a Kohen Gadol, has to avoid tumah. So says the Pasuk, Mashiach is here, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to do Tchias HaMesim. But you, the Kohen, go saviv saviv, go round and around. Don't go into the field where there are bones of Mesim, because you're a Kohen.